Jan Hawken talks with Mark Tilson, an Oglala Lakota poet, educator from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, one of my fellow Oglala Lakotas, and water protector on the front lines of fighting oil pipelines. Tilson reads from his recently published book of poetry, It Ain't Over Till We're Smoking Cigars on the Drill Pad. Tilson was at Standing Rock. He stepped into the role of a direct action trainer and police liaison. Since then, he has led trainings and teach-ins about the lessons learned from Standing Rock. He recently spent 6 months at Lo Esse La Vie camp fighting against the Bayou Bridge pipeline, which is the tail end of the Dakota Access Pipeline ending in Louisiana. He is still organizing with the water protectors in this fight.
Mark Tilson, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you.
Well, you were in the role of direct action trainer and police liaison at Standing Rock, and I'd like to talk a bit about that later, but let's start with the title, the mysterious and provocative title of your fabulous new book of poetry, and then we can also talk about kind of the aims behind this collection of poems. It Ain't Over Until We're Smoking Cigars on the Drill Pad. I know tobacco has a long and honored place in indigenous culture. How did you come to this title?
First and foremost, I'm a prolific cigar smoker. Out of Chetty Shakoi, like, I survived off of nicotine and caffeine, like most of us. But the title comes from kind of close to the tail end of the camps shutting down in December. After the veterans came and Obama issued the edict that there would be no drilling under the Missouri River for the Dakota Access Pipeline, that was issued from the Army Corps of Engineers, Dave Archambault II, president of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, asked everyone to go home. And, you know, I was interviewed or asked by a journalist, and I call them frenemies. You know, not exactly friends, they're not exactly enemies, a little bit of both. And she asked me, like, are you going home? You know, Dave asked, the chairman asked everyone to go home, or what are you going to do? I was like, it ain't over until we're smoking cigars on the drill pad. And at the time, the drill pad, I've actually seen a bunch of these. They're usually like really simple affairs. Like, it's just a construction site. At Standing Rock, however, it was like a 15-foot tall fortress that was built out of these earthen blocks, the kind of technology they make fire bases out of in Afghanistan. And it was guarded by mercenaries and snipers and was wrapped in razor wire. So yeah, it was kind of like, for me, it was like this epic dragon that we needed to slay.
A military fortified space.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you've been also very involved in as an organizer at Loyola V camp in Louisiana, and for those who don't know, that was the Bayou Bridge pipeline that was also the site of worldwide images of ongoing resistance from DAPL as it continued that last leg into Louisiana, that they ended up completing that pipeline, and there's oil flowing through it, and they went around the camp. But you've also insisted that it is not over, even though some would say that there was an enormous loss there, both at Standing Rock and in Louisiana. How do you carry the spirit of it ain't over until we have some kind of ritual pronouncement of a victory in defeating these lethal forces? How do you continue the struggle, and how do you see your poetry as part of that sustained struggle?
Well, twofold. I'm Oglala Lakota. History has been trying to tell us that we've been defeated for 120 years, and we're still not listening. we're still in this fight, not merely just for our own survival and our own lands and protecting our sacred sites, but also for the water, for our other relatives, for the world, for the earth, for Uchimaka. Yeah, and I think if we would have listened to the dominant narrative that, oh, you guys have been, you're done, you're washed up, we would have packed it up a long time ago. but like the warrior spirit that I feel inspires me is still very much alive in my people. And right now, it's probably one of the most exciting times to be part of resistance in my lifetime.
Why don't you read that short, their range of poems that are, that capture the sight, sound, smells, and palpable energy of the camp at Standing Rock. I mean, it's in and of itself just as poetry, aside from where it goes political, as a political inspiration or social memory. It has a beauty that took my breath away. But let's start with Camp Life, one of the shorter poems. Would you read that? Maybe we could talk a bit about it.
Yeah, Camp Life. It's not that we were free, not really, but on a clear day, we could see what freedom looked like.
So can you speak a little about that in terms of the something on the horizon? There is sometimes it's called prefigurative politics, or the, you know, where you have these experiments and possibility that can't be sustained until there's major change overall, but something happened there that continues to inspire so many people about something beyond the fight against these lethal industries. And I know you've spoken about that, and your poetry is a way of putting some of what Standing Rock meant to you personally and so many others in this form.
Yeah, what I say is, like, we weren't truly free. It's like the Standing Rock resistance was fundamentally unsustainable. We required massive amounts of external resources in terms of just both finances and material goods. We didn't have enough wood. We had to bring in wood. We had to, you know, we had to raise money, a lot of money, to sustain these camps. And so that in some ways that we actually had the support, though. That's what's kind of interesting and fascinating about Standing Rock, is there's often times where it wasn't the best distributed, or some people have been accused of gatekeeping the resources. But overall, like, we had access to a lot of resources most of us never really have had access like this ever before.
Because of support that came in from around the world.
Yeah, and what's kind of funny is, like, you're sitting in your teepee at the end of Crazy Horse Lane, and you're like, wow, they're doing thousands of people are marching in Ireland right now for us.
Yeah.
And just, it's surreal, kind of feeling like, it was a very surreal feeling. But when I say that, like, what the possibility of what could be, we had our needs met, like, both our metaphysical, our spiritual, our emotional needs met. Like, most of us had better health care in camp than we did at Indian Health Services back on the reservation. I think the only thing we were really missing was probably a dentist.
Yeah. Can you speak also a little about your role as police liaison? And some of your poems have to do with that. There's a lot of biting humor in your poetry. Some of it's hilarious and some of it's heart-achingly sad and joyful. But I think one part of resistance movements, especially now with so much focus on direct action, an area that's overlooked is the level of social organization, planning, and discipline that's required. It isn't just confrontations with the police and then getting arrested. And you were involved in that. Could you say a little about that? Because I think it is often misunderstood, the role of the police liaison.
Yeah, definitely. In the most ideal situation, like, you have training. I was actually at a frontline action and was just asked by Tapkanka, who was on the mic, saying, if you're not Mark Tilson, don't talk to the cops. And that's how I stepped into that role.
You were anointed.
Yeah. Like, we had a lot of people who had a lot of different ideas talking to the cops. And people kind of think, like, it's a role where you're in charge or a leadership position. And those are people who probably you don't want those people talking to the cops or being in a police liaison. What you're simply doing is communicating. Ideally, in the most ideal situation, no one ever talks to the cops. There's not really a benefit that can happen as a civilian talking to the police.
In fact, quite the contrary.
Right. as a police liaison, your goal is to communicate, sometimes to obfuscate between the action and the police. The idea is your primary role is to make sure the action is successful. And at Standing Rock, most of our actions were about work stoppages. I would say the majority of them were about work stoppages.
Work stoppages along the pipelines.
Like, you know, we came to stop a pipeline, so that was the goal.
So, Mark, I'd like you to read in the beginning, in our closing today, because I think it also captures some of what I see as your aim of sustaining the lessons of Standing Rock, and not just in memorializing or honoring, but in learning from them. Could you, in closing, read that poem, and then we'll just say where our listeners can find the book. Can you read that for us?
In the beginning, we sleep to peyote songs and raucous laughter, young men stretching their first war whoops and mocking rooster crows answer from the teepees. We wake to geese calls before sunrise, the loud yapping of packs of coyotes that always remind me of a small horde of freshmen jostling one another in the hallways, the bros of the animal world. If we win, these sounds will greet our great-grandchildren, and one day I'll be there on that hill with white hair on the microphone, talking about these mad days when the Hunkpapa called and we answered. I might even embellish how brave I was or important. If we fail, only silence. I ask my grandmothers and grandfathers, living and dead, be with us now. Bear witness. Help us find the will to do what needs to be done. I'm not going to die here. I don't want to be arrested, and I'm too damn big to run. But I'm not a fighter, not really. I don't see what lies ahead. There's so much that could have been done. We've ought to reach out to our black brothers and sisters to stand with us. Send out our most respectable to every mayor's office, city council meeting, PTA, school board, and town hall on the Missouri. Every town and farm and community that drinks water or the pipeline crosses. And doesn't really matter now. We are here. They are coming. All I ask is myself is to live these next few days well. The camp is waking up. Hoka.
Mark, I hope we can all join in that spirit, and I hope to smoke a cigar with you next time you're in town in Portland. You may be here reading, as I understand, in December. Just in closing, where can listeners find the book?
Right now I'm self-published. So you can find me on Instagram or Facebook, M. Tilson on Instagram. That's M-T-I-L-S-E-N. And I'm accepting payment through PayPal and Venmo.
Okay, well, Mark Tilson, thank you so much for being with us on the Omal Variety Hour today on KBOO, and keep up the good work. And I hope to see you soon.
All right, thank you.
Police get Chwabinito. Gnama, I see it, Elijah Dim. Delpit Dowson. Eskimada Moose and Negnigan Minjason. Police get Chwabinito. Ola bin again, mid again. Delpit Dowson. Eskimada Moose and Negnege Seyasin. Boodalis Giet. Lai Jasi. Don't was the day born, Ig Baik Doo.